Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Good morning, Kansas City. I want everyone to have a wonderful day today on this Wednesday, January 20th, 2021. Let's say hello to Nick Leckie. Hello, Nick. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you guys doing this beautiful Wednesday morning?
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome, Nick. And guess what I ate during the Chiefs game?
Chorizo?
Oh, I wish. I'd like to have some
right
now.
That's a good guess.
Possible. Well, you know. No, I went pizza.
Oh.
I went pizza. And
where?
I went with a good friend of the show, Minsky's.
Ooh,
you know
nice.
What I got though? You know what I opted for? The Kelseroni.
Oh yeah!
Oh,
you ever had that Kelseroni?
The cupped pepperonis. Mm-hmm. The cupped pepperonis.
The cup this pepperoni.
Cup? No, hello.
No.
Hey, yikes!
It's no. Layered with classic pepperoni,
so
salami, and they brought back their cupping and charring pepperoni.
Yeah.
And they donated $1.50 to Travis Kelce's 87 and Running Foundation, and so I thought that would be the right choice for the Chiefs game.
Kelseroni, extra sauce.
And again, here I go, sitting there thinking of what Nick Leckie would think about my decision to go with the Kelseroni. So you approve, though, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah, absolutely. Pizza's the perfect thing. I decided to, you know, when I deep fried a turkey on Thanksgiving, and you know how you get lazy and you don't do the oil? Right, you don't clean it out. You don't. And I'm like, I need to use this again because I'm not about to buy this peanut oil and just do it for one day. So I got some wings and made some hand cut French fries. It was glorious, man.
Wow,
it was glorious.
Wow,
I know.
It was delicious.
Yeah, I even did like a special seasoning for the fries because I always hate when like they just serve fries plain, and I'm like, just put a little like seasoning on there, and it would and it's perfect. So and of course. If I ever owned a restaurant, your breakfast potatoes or your lunch fries are always extra crispy. It's just the standard. Like, I don't know who likes soggy fries, but I'm not here for that nonsense.
So did you use the turkey fryer for those fries?
Yeah, and peanut oil. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, buddy.
Oh, man.
And I just chopped up some potatoes, right? I, like, cut them lengthwise.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you gotta put them in water to get the starch out, but it like, cleans them out. And then you let them dry. And I was doing batches of, like, wings, like six wings for 10 minutes and then a handful of fries for 15. So it was, like, this glorious little feast. And
wow.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Did you utilize the turkey neck? And if you didn't, could Nate have it?
I played with it for a little bit. My kids aren't old enough to really, like, kind of, like, you know, it looks too similar. The turkey neck.
Right.
It's like, okay, let's not. This is too real right now.
That was a tremendous comedy prop for my grandfather and my Uncle Richie in the Entrepreneur's household. Boy, oh boy. That was like, you couldn't wait to see what was
going
to happen this year. What are
they going
to
do
with it this year? Right.
Nick
Leckie, tell me about any issues with a concussion or anything in your playing days or. Your big toe?
You know, in college, I got my freshman year, I got turf toe. And I remember Deion Sanders having it when I was a kid in Dallas, and it kind of, you know, ruined his career. And I remember thinking, oh, turf toe, that's such a, like, sort of soft injury. And then I got it, and you have to wear, like, a steel plate insert in your shoe, and it hurts like a mofo. When you get turf toe in your big toe, it hurts or anything. It stinks. And then diagnosed concussions, no, but I got a lot of subconcussive hits, never lost consciousness or anything like that.
What did you think of that hit when it was happening with Patrick Mahomes and the replays and everything else?
It was clean, right? It was clean. You know, you saw it, and there's no really – I didn't see any jarring. You know, your head doesn't have to hit the ground, but, you know, if you have like a blunt force or anything like that, you know, your brain and they're rattling in that fluid. But yeah, I mean, it looked like the choke, right? Like a guillotine, you know, this is UFC territory. You know, torqued his neck back on that one. And Mahomes has some weird, weird injuries, man. You know, from the QB sneak last year to this neck thing, it's just bizarre, like beyond bizarre. to me what happened. Like, it's just weird. It's really weird.
So, Nick, I want to ask you, you spent some time in the NFL as a backup yourself. So I want to ask you about the life of a backup in the situation that Chad Henne found himself in. After he converts that 13-yard run to make it 4th-and-1, and the coaching staff and everybody has the confidence to call on him to execute that play. I've asked people, what are the odds that he ever had a chance to actually practice that play, especially with the first team? And just the confidence that you have to have as a backup, knowing that what are the odds that you're going to be in that situation, but you got to be ready for it when it comes. Could you speak to all that?
Yeah. So what I love about Andy Reid's squads, and I've referenced it before, but I think he learned so much in 2012 in Philly when he tried to create this, like, 92 Barcelona dream team, right? Try to be the New York Yankees of football and just buy talent and put them together. And it didn't work. So they went for the opposite route, where you hire a bunch of mid-level veterans, guys who've been around the league for a while and who are smart and know how to play well together. And that's how you build a roster, and that's how you save cap space, right? Where you're not splurging on every position, where you're just figuring out we need people to play as a whole and we need capable backups. I mean, right, they've lost 3 O-linemen, multiple defensive linemen are in and out throughout the year, have been hurt. And you got to have backups, man. And for them to have that confidence and not only that play, but with Henne too, to trust him to do that. But the greatest thing, the greatest thing that Andy Reid does, and it really doesn't get enough attention, is pre-snap, right? Is where, you know, you see the orbit motion with Tyreek Hill, where he's running around the running back and back and yo-yoing. And if you watch that play, and I've watched that play like 10 times, the fact that the Henne holds the count to, like, and he didn't snap it till 5. So he's holding those guys on the defensive line, everybody chilling, where you're kind of like, if you were snapped it quick, I think that play gets stopped. But if you wait to the last second and you kind of, like, imagine if you're about to start a race and you put your hand down and you're cocked back and you're ready to go. And if you wait in that stance for like 10, 15 seconds, you know, you start to get weaker, and then your coil, right, starts getting a little bit less tense. And then you snap it and throws it. I mean, it was brilliant. And that doesn't get utilized enough, is that pre-snap snuff. And that's what you have with Henne, and you got to play it. That was great. That reminded me of the our Saints Super Bowl Lance Moore two-point play.
Nick Lecky is our guest. Nick, the Chiefs now must face the Buffalo Bills. They beat them earlier in the season up in Buffalo. We don't know about, obviously Mahomes is the big one, but we don't know about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We don't know about Rashad Fenton. We don't know about Willie Gay. We don't know about Sammy Watkins. And then Bashaud Breeland left that game as well. So let's just start taking a look at this Buffalo Bills matchup. Based on what you saw the first time around, the Bills are better now, but what are some of the keys to winning this game for the Chiefs on Sunday?
So I think, you know, at one point it would be tough to really, really break down that Buffalo film or to use it as a comparison, like, because it will, from a Chiefs offensive standpoint, because the Bills were missing, I think they had out, like, what, 3 D linemen or something like that. So they're already down. So anything offensively, you're like, okay, we're not going to be able to get this done, that done. But Darrell Williams, right? Is it Darrell Williams? Right? Is he the mm-hmm. running back? Last week, I was getting confused from the other one. And he was running like a possessed individual. He was running like a hungry running back who has an opportunity to shine, and he was running north and south. And I think Andy Reid kind of pocketed that a little bit. Kind of said, okay, we need to hold that back. But they showed they could do it. And it was like if you look at, like, the final box score, I mean, the Chiefs outrushed Cleveland, believe it or not. If you look at the final, I mean, don't look at box scores, but I thought that was intriguing.
Yeah.
And it was like, man, you know, they kind of went away from it, like, in the coming out the second half when they had what, a 33-second drive after the interception. And that'll be something that's going to factor in a lot is in this championship game. It's Darrell Williams north and south running with this O-line versus tough Buffalo defense. And I think that's how you're going to crack open this defense.
So that is interesting, Nick, because the playoffs in the AFC featured three of the top four running teams during the regular season, the Ravens, the Browns, and the Titans, but they're all gone now. The last four teams involved, three of the top four passing teams in the NFL. Oh, and by the way, the other one is the Packers. They have 48 touchdown passes on the year, which leads the NFL. But it sounds like you think the run game could actually be a big part of this game between the Bills and the Chiefs, even though that's not really been their bread and butter for either team this year.
Correct. So, and what I mean is, so when you watch football, I absolutely despise when people talk about, hey, they got to get to bounce. You know, they're a bounce to tag, blah, blah, blah. No, you don't need to rush the ball 40 times and pass the ball 40 times. No, those days are over. Right? Those days are over. What you have to do while you run the ball is to wear down the defense's pass rush. That's one read. And then another one, too, is to build off it if you want to. Bootlegs, some screens if you want on maybe first or second down, and other things. So you don't lean on the run, man. You use the run as a way to wear down the defenders. That's it, really. And, you know, just to throw them off a little bit. Because if you're thinking pass, you know, you see these teams that get down late in the fourth quarter and the D linemen are just thinking pass, they're selling out for pass, not worried about run. You know, that's where you run into issues. And so, yeah, so it's not a big deal to run the ball. You just have to run it a couple times. And that's the league we're in now. Like, that's where it's going to. That's why you have these dual threats and running back, and that's why teams are like, oh, they're running the ball over the place. Okay, that's great. You know, are you going to score a touchdown in the red zone? We'll see. That'll be if it. Stats I don't really care about, man. It's red zone efficiency and third down conversions. Those are the stats I focus on.
Nick, I saw a tweet from Matt Verderame, who is a guest that comes on the Zone from time to time, national NFL reporter for FanSided. And this irritated Buffalo fans, which is really why I like the tweet a lot. He said, let me break down the AFC Championship game. If the Bills get consistent pressure with four, they can win. If they don't, they won't. Can it be as simple as that?
It really is. I mean, it's not a complicated game. There are a bunch of things you can do. But honestly, they'll need to drop at seven. Right? So, yeah, I mean, it's any game. You know, it's all about controlling the line of scrimmage. If you're getting pressured, if you feel uncomfortable in the pocket, whatever quarterback's playing, yeah, you're not going to get squat done. And the crazy thing about NFL, if you look at comparisons, offensive linemen and cornerbacks or defensive backs are in the same boat, believe it or not. Because for offensive linemen and for defensive backs, on a long enough period of time, you are going to get beat, right? You see a quarterback hang back in the pocket for like 7-8 seconds, right? What's happening? They're going to get sacked, probably. They're going to get hit. And the same thing with the defensive back. You know, you can only cover someone for so long and look at the quarterback without, you know, a coverage breaking down. It's just a matter of finding that person who gets open late. I mean, that's really what it is. But, yeah, so it does. It's boiled down. You can boil it down that much. That is your least common denominator, absolutely.
So how do you feel about this Chiefs offensive line as it's currently constructed against that defensive front of the Bills?
So it's awesome to me that you have a bunch of guys who are just playing so well together. They're aggressive. You know, shout out to Andy Heck for getting these cats in line as one, because my favorite slogan was from Aaron Cromer, who's our O-line coach at New Orleans, and he says, you know, one die, we all die. And it's so true. Like, you have to play together as an offensive line, and this offensive line has been healthy and been playing together for a couple weeks now, and they look great. Man, they look so great together. You know, there's nobody, even a couple of guys were getting some pancakes last week. I was like, that's slick. But they just play well together in a pass pro, and they create a wall, right? They create a barrier. You know, they're set in the pocket. And it just, God, it's awesome. Man, they're clicking at the right time.
Who wins between Buccaneers and Packers?
I think Packers, man. I think Drew Brees coming back, you know, from his rib injuries. and wasn't getting, you know, that good rotation, you know, that good, you know, Dak Prescott warm-up, funky warm-up, wasn't getting that hip thrust, that side hip thrust or, you know, the whatever, nice. The ribs. So he wasn't able to get, you know, as much velocity as he wanted. So, you know, Aaron Rodgers, on the other hand, he's damn good. I honestly think this is like, and didn't who won in the regular season? Didn't Aaron Rodgers get smoked by Tampa?
Yeah, I got crushed, more than 20 or something.
Which, if that game would have happened in December, they're not talking about an MVP race, which is crazy to me. But that's MVP. It's what'd you do in November, December? And so yeah, but I think Aaron Rodgers got a bone to pick, and he wants to take his shot at Brady now that he's in the NFC.
Give us give us a final score for the AFC Championship game.
The AFC Championship game?
Both of them. We'll take your money to the bank. Let's go.
Yeah, let's do it. So AFC, so I'm thinking Chiefs are going to have to win in a shootout. Man, I'm thinking like 38-31 Chiefs. That's what I'm thinking.
All right.
I like that. And then
NFC?
I'm going to go with the Packers. I'm going to go with one of those 28-13 games. Yeah, Packers.
All right, final question. My friend Todd texted me and said, "Is Philip Rivers a Hall of Famer?" He said, "Is Philip Rivers a Hall of Famer?" I say no. So you answer Todd's question: is Philip Rivers a Hall of Famer?
I think Philip Rivers is a Hall of Famer. You look at length of career, what he did out with LT in his years in San Diego, and I think what Philip Rivers did in Indianapolis, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. I don't think he's a first ballot, but he's a second ballot. He's up there. He'll get in. I think so. Long career, his teams were always threatening. You know, it was always tough. You know, always making well, and then just the fact that they just bombed in the playoffs, and so it's like a almost like a Dan Marino situation, where you know, great passer, great leader, dude couldn't do it on his legs, so use his mind and his arm. You got to respect that. You know, he was able to win in a different way, and if you're on his team, you loved him, and if you're not on his team, you're like, he's a whiny crybaby.
Cry me a river.
20 kids and wore a cool bolo.
That's right. Thank you, Nick Leckie.
Thanks, gents. Have a good one.
Do you guys both think Rivers is a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
Yep. Do you?
Doesn't matter what I think.
You're right.
Yes.
It doesn't.
He'll be in. Yes. Hall of Fame crier.
That's the right answer.
What do you think of this next guest coming up, Nate?
Nah.
Meh.
Hall of Famer from Shawnee Mission South?
Yep. A Hall of Fame gift sender.
Oh, I got a story to tell about him.
A what? What did you say, Jake?
GIF.
GIF?
Oh. GIF. I said gift. Did he send you some gifts? Like, what did he send you?
No, GIF. I'll send you what he sent me.
He is a gift.
When I asked him to come on the show.
Oh, boy.
So we say it GIF.
GIF.
That's how
GIF.
I say GIF. That's how the person who invented it says it.
Yeah, he doesn't know anything.
Greg Gurley and then John Sunvold coming up on WHB.